The news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, filing of nomination by flag bearers of political parties, independent candidates and aspiring parliamentarians begins today and ends tomorrow, 30th September. Electoral Commission restates all forms of campaign should cease 24 hours before election. Government clears University of Cape Coast to employ 44 new members of staff this year. Boat operators and fishermen disagree on removal of tree stumps in Volta Lake, and Amnesty International reports chemical weapons killed dozens of children in Darfur. Flag bearers of political parties, independent candidates and aspiring parliamentarians contesting the presidential and parliamentary polls are to file their nominations today, 29th and 30th September, that is tomorrow, at the Electoral Commission offices. A statement in Accra by the EC urges all candidates to take note of the requirement under the law to ensure that their tax obligations are met. Candidates are to declare their assets to the Auditor General in order to meet eligibility criteria. Also, candidates are to write their names, age, sex, political party, or independent in block letters. The statement said presidential candidates are to pay 50,000 CDs, while parliamentary candidates pay 10,000 CDs. Payments should be made in bankers' draft. It said political parties can make bulk payments for their parliamentary candidates, while independent candidates will only have to pay the filing fees at a constituency level. Meanwhile, the flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, is set to submit his nomination forms to the Electoral Commission today at 9 a.m. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Director of Elections of the party, Martin James Akosa, said Nana Addo will be accompanied by a few party executives without any fanfare.
Nana Addo is submitting his papers at the EC headquarters.
And per all the requirements stated, is he meeting all of them?
Yes, and another has gone through this over and over again as MP and as presidential candidate. So for us, it's okay. It's a normal process.
Okay, so what's the spirit like as he goes to present his filing?
Oh, Nanado will just be there as the rules demand, go through the processes. When he finishes, I'm sure you, the media, will be around. And you may want to report it as you see. But otherwise, for him, he will go just one or two of us who want to accompany. Because for me, it's in my line of duty, and so I may have to be there. Otherwise, it isn't something that requires any fanfare. No, this is just a normal process.
Martin Ejimensa, of course, as the Director of Elections for the NPP. Meanwhile, the NDC says the party will meet the Electoral Commission's deadline for submission of forms on Friday. In an interview with Radio Ghana, a Deputy General Secretary, Kokwani Doho, said the party has secured all the signatures necessary for filing of forms.
I can tell you for a fact that we have secured all the signatures. The EC's rules of engagement, we are ready to file. The President will file, the NDP shall file. Don't worry, we'll file before the timeline is over. I take the forms on behalf of the President, I mean, humbly so. We moved around, we got into every nook and cranny. We've gotten the signatures, and so we are ready. When it is that the President shall go, or the party shall stand in his stead and file, we'll let you know. But we are ready. Don't worry, we'll meet the deadline.
A Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Kwaku Anyidoho. The Director of Electoral Services at the Electoral Commission, Samuel Tete, has cautioned politicians and party agents not to engage in any form of communication with voters on election day. He said all forms of campaign and one-on-one interaction to influence voters should cease 24 hours before election day. Speaking on GBC's Ask the EC program, Mr. Tete said it is unlawful for any party representative to be seen with the voter unless the voter is physically challenged and needs help.
By law, this is the number of officials that we are supposed to use. I hope you get me.
I do.
We also have to let the agents of the political parties or the candidates also be present. In addition, we even have security men
around. Are these party agents or reps allowed to speak to the voter?
Well, no. You know, by law, campaign ceases 24 hours to the election. And it is also an offense to actually speak to anybody in the queue. Probably you may be saying something to the voter to influence the choice of the voter. So you can actually report, or if you have any concerns, the only person to actually address your issue is the presiding officer.
Right, so they must not, or the reps of the various parties must not have any form of contact or communication with the voter at all.
If the voters are in the queue, there is no need for you to get to the voter. What are you going to tell the voter?
Right.
Okay. Unless maybe if a voter may be the physically challenged, the blind, and other things, we have what we call the tactile jacket ballot. I hope you get it.
I see.
So they can actually use that one, or they may come with an aide or maybe a relative who can actually help them to vote. It's an offense actually for a politician to try to influence a voter to vote in a particular way, either giving them money, drink, whatever it is.
Is it an offense on both sides?
Yes.
For the politician,
yes,
and the voter?
Precisely. But the issue is, if you are taking your money, how can we actually know that you are taking the money from a politician? Unless maybe you are actually caught, you know. But if you are not caught, then that does. But you must actually vote according to what? Your conscience. You don't actually wait for somebody to influence you, give you money before you go and then vote for that person. You vote according to what? Your conscience. You look at the manifestos of the parties and other things, and you vote for a particular candidate or party whom you think can actually work or do best for you.
Director of Electoral Services at the Electoral Commission, Samuel Tete. Gender advocate group Abantu for Development has launched a scorecard to track the performance of political parties in promoting women's issues and gender equality. This forms part of a project Abantu is undertaking with support from Star Ghana, titled Promoting Gender Responsiveness and Peace in Election 2016 for Equality and Democratic Governance. A member of the Women's Manifesto Coalition, Kina Likimani, said political parties have largely failed in ensuring gender parity in Ghana. She said Ghana lags behind many countries, including Rwanda, where women form 60% of those in leadership positions. A report by Bubu Klinogo.
The scorecard rates the performance of the parties between 2004 and 2012. The focus is on parties that have had representation in parliament within the period under review. They are the NDC, NPP, PNC, and CPP. Abantu uses a three-point scoring system, 1, 2, and 3, representing low, moderate, and high. Six key areas were assessed. These are commitments made in party manifestos, women's representation at national executive councils of the parties, percentage of women contesting in party primaries, and the percentage of women representing parties in parliament. The other two components relate to only the NDC and the MPP, since they are the only parties that have won elections. These are the number of women appointed to high public offices and the number of women-specific policies and laws made. What is clear is that no political party has scored high on any of the indicators. The party scored 1 or low in most of the fields. The MPP and CPP scored 2 or moderate on representation of women at NEC at one point or the other. NDC and MPP also scored 2 on appointment of women into high public offices and formulation of women-specific policies and laws. Kina Likimani presented the findings.
It is evident that the political parties are generally not committed to women's rights and gender equality. Women's representation within the party's National Executive Council in 2008, basically all representation in party structures remain woefully low. One day, I'm sure a party will make sure that a woman's organizer is a man. The CPP's 9-member NEC had only 2 women representatives. The NDC and PNC had a representation of women below 25%. NPP had the highest, with a representation of 33% of women in its NEC. The CPP increased its women aspirants from 17 in 2004 to 20 in 2008. The NDC reduced its women aspirants from 17 in 2004 to 10 in 2008. The NPP also reduced a reduction in the number of women parliamentary aspirants. The fluctuating number with regards to women's representation can largely be attributed to the lack of an affirmative action policy within the political party structure. Because left to their own devices, nothing would change. So President Mahama yesterday was saying he doesn't know where the ITI bill is. We would hope that we do not hear that statement in connection with the affirmative action bill.
The women rededicated themselves to pushing for greater representation at all levels of decision-making.
Bubu Klinogo reporting. MP for Yilo Krobo and chairman of the Constitutional, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Committee, Magnus Amwateng, says Parliament wants to do a thorough job on the right information bill before passing it. Commenting on the delay in the passage of the bill, Mr. Amwateng said both Parliament and the Executive are committed to passing the bill, which is at the consideration stage. He said the delay has nothing to do with political considerations and that no one should put the blame at the doorstep of government or Parliament. Mr. Amwateng spoke to Agatha Samoa on Behind the News.
The executive has absolutely no control over the bill as it stands now. It is in the bosom of Parliament, and it is Parliament that is to pass the bill, and not the executive. You observe that Parliament is independent of the executive, and the executive's duty has been performed. They are to submit the bill to Parliament, and Parliament is tasked with the responsibility of considering the bill and passing it into law. If I want Parliament passes it, it doesn't become law until the executive has sent the committee that considered the bill, together with non-members of the committee who come to assist us to consider the bill at the committee stage. There are about 25. So if 25 members of Parliament consider the bill and it comes before the House, you will appreciate that there are people who did not participate at the committee stage and may have reservations. And that is the reason why it comes back before the entire Parliament again. Every member of Parliament who wishes to make an input in the consideration of the bill is given the right to do so. Both sides of the House have agreed to pass the bill, and both sides of the House consider the bill at the committee stage. So we are committed to it, but rightly. I don't think any Ghanaian wants us to pass a bill that may not pass the test of time.
But how soon will that be?
There are as much over 150 amendments proposed in over 50-page amendments. Gradually, we are taking them. And well, it took Parliament over 1.5 hours to consider just one clause. There were times when we spent more than that. And let me say that this is one bill that has attracted so much interest on the floor of Parliament. Some members, admittedly, are apprehensive of the bill. But I think as we are considering the bill, we are also doing education to allay the fears of members of Parliament, to educate them that the bill is in the right interest, in the interest of every Ghanaian.
Magnus Amwateng is MP for Yilo Krobo and chairman of the Constitutional, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Committee. Contributing to the program, the regional coordinator of the Commonwealth Human Rights Initiative, Nina Mensah, said the position by Parliament to do a good job is not tenable. She explained that Parliament cannot say it is committed to the Right Information Bill, which she describes as a people's law, if members leave discussions on the bill hanging.
For a nation, if we have the right kind of information or the citizens have access to the right kind of information, it would even change the kind of development that will go on in the country, and it will change the life and empower people. We are in a democracy, and democracy means participation. Without adequate information, I do not think any citizen can really make informed decisions and participate in governance. The idea for a bill to be referred to a committee to work on is that it's for them to do the background work, the research and everything, so that when it comes to the whole House, it becomes easy. And then whenever they recommend amendments, there are justifications. The bill has been in Parliament since 2013. Parliament is saying that 3 years is not good enough for them to do a good job on the bill. Granted, there are other bills that they are working on. But when parliamentarians start talking like that, and especially when it's a member of the committee, I am wondering, are they saying that all the time, money and energy that was spent to review the bill, looking at international best practice and at the AU law, was not necessary? Yes.
You heard the regional coordinator of the Commonwealth Human Rights Initiative, Nina Mensah. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Filing of nomination by flag bearers of political parties, independent candidates and aspiring parliamentarians begins today and ends tomorrow, 30th September. Electoral Commission restates all forms of campaign should cease 24 hours before election day. Government clears University of Cape Coast to employ 44 new members of staff this year. Boat operators and fishermen disagree on removal of tree stumps in Volta Lake, and Amnesty International reports chemical weapons killed dozens of children in Darfur. Please stay with us. Government has given clearance for the University of Cape Coast to employ 44 new members of staff to replace 70 staff members who have retired this year. The pro vice chancellor of the university, Professor George Odru, mentioned this at an award ceremony organized to recognize and appreciate the 70 retirees for their service to the university community. Correspondent Kingsley Nanabuedu has the details.
16 other active members of the university were also honored for their efforts and contributions. The 70 retirees were made up of 20 senior members, 31 senior staff, and 19 junior staff. 61 of the number served the university between 15 years and 41 years in various capacities. Mrs. Matilda Akun-Mensah, Anthony Appiah, and David Atta were the longest serving retired staff, with both working for 41 years each. All the retirees took home awards ranging from fans, television sets, double-decker fridges, and furniture. The Pro Vice Chancellor, Professor George Odru, congratulated and encouraged staff of the university to put in extra effort to meet the growing needs of the university. According to him, work on the university campus is getting difficult, and that 44 new members of staff are not enough to take over the place of 70 retired staff. A former provost of humanities and legal studies, Professor Stephen Kendi, who is one of the retirees, has called for a second look at the promotional arrangement and processes at the universities. According to him, emphasis should be placed more on research work that are geared towards development of communities than quantity of research done. He spoke with me in an interview at the sidelines of the awards ceremony.
Kingsley Nanabuedu reporting. The Public Relations Director of the Ghana Education Service, GES, Reverend Jonathan Becker, says the CSBEC performance has been outstanding compared to previous years. Speaking to Radio Ghana on the CSSPS placement, he said the GES, as of now, has placed 99% of students. He said the remaining 1% will be done by the end of this week. Reverend Becker said school authorities who flout the rules regarding the placement of students will be dealt with. He spoke to Jonathan Thompson.
In actual fact, this year's performance has been very, very outstanding. It has been very, very excellent. Children, students have performed very creditably as compared to last year or the previous years.
So with the placement, now, what is going to happen?
We have up to now had 99% of the placement, except 1%, which by the end of this week, the 1% will also go through. So we've asked them to use their index numbers and add 10602 to it as usual. They know what to do, and they'll get the various places of their schools where they've been posted to. They'll get them.
Okay, now, let me ask, what are you expecting from school heads? Because, you know, with this kind of situations, we might be having some heads who will be flouting the rules. That is, they'll be doing their own thing. Are you expecting something like that?
In actual fact, the Director General of Ghana Education Service met all headmasters and headmistresses concerning the admission of students this year in their various schools. After getting the enrollment figures from them, computerized system has also placed the candidate according to their raw scores. And we are requesting from all headmasters to comply with every directive. We know that students are expected to go through what we call orientation by 7th of October to 9th after they are admitted for the first year. And they have to submit the signed list of admitted students by 7th November. And then we requested that all heads of senior high schools, including the 42 community day schools, are to take note of the following, that they have been advised to ensure that no student on their school placement list is denied admission. Now,
Reverend Jonathan Becker is the PR of the Ghana Education Service. Members of the Graduate Students Association of Ghana, GRASAG, have protested in Accra to press home demands for the release of their bursaries and thesis grants. They started the demonstration at the O'Brien Sports at Kwame Nkrumah Circle and marched through some principal streets of Accra. They later held a news conference at the Heart of Oak Park, where the national president of the association, Rashid Kwesi Itofo, read out their petition. There's a report by Bismarck Adika and Ansuma Buachi.
The leadership of the Graduate Students Association of Ghana, GRASAC, last week called off their planned picketing at the Flagstaff House to further engage government on their petition. According to the GRASAC leadership, their engagement with the government did not yield any positive results, hence their demonstration. The protesting students expressed frustration over delays in releasing their bursaries and their grants. The GRASAC president, Rashid Kwesi Itiafo, gave a 24-hour ultimatum to government to respond to the association's petitions.
But for the record, we wrote to the ministry, the acting chief director replied our letter. The acting chief director of the ministry, number one memo, if I'm right, he wrote to us that they have acknowledged our letter, wow. And they are going to say, as soon as possible.
That was the word.
That was his word. And so if the minister is saying that this is new to the ministry, then we have a bit shocked. Nonetheless, we are giving the minister at least 24 hours to look at it, and at most 24 hours to reply at it, so that we will know when they will pay us our best.
The persistent and enthusiastic demonstrators picketed the entrance of the finance ministry. The situation nearly became rowdy when some demonstrators blocked the vehicle of the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, who happened to be at the Ministry of Finance and offered to get the finance minister to meet their leadership.
Bismarck Adika and Suma Boachi filed that report. The Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture in charge of crops, Dr. Ahmed Yakubu Al-Hassan, says agriculture remains a major governmental tool aimed at reducing poverty in the rural areas. According to the Deputy Minister, studies indicate that the increase in agricultural production corresponds to the reduction in poverty as compared to other sectors of the economy. He said this is the reason why the agricultural sector has been a priority to government over the years. Dr. Yakubu Al-Hassan said this at the 7th National Food and Agricultural Show, FAGRO, in Accra. Still in a Greek, two corporate institutions have presented boxes of assorted items to the Minister of Agriculture towards this year's Farmers' Day celebration. The Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture in charge of crops, Dr. Al-Hassan Yakubu, received the donation on behalf of the ministry. Lamin Hamaulai and Justice Amatefe were at the event and filed this report.
This year's celebration is on the theme, Agriculture, a Business Response to Economic Growth. Kaligana donated 10 boxes of hand gloves, knapsack sprayers with other items worth 5,000 Ghana cedis and a check for 3,000 Ghana cedis. Exim Guarantee also presented agrochemicals, fungicides and a check for 10,000 Ghana cedis. The Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture, Dr. Al-Hassan Yakubu, who received the items, expressed gratitude and encouraged Corporate Ghana to emulate the gesture by coming on board to support this year's Farmers' Day celebration.
This is Exim Guarantee that is donating 5,000 cedis worth of products and 3,000 Ghana cedis cash. And then Cali Ghana, the total contribution is 14,000 Ghana cedis. 4,000 of it is coming as products. We are very happy with that. So the cash donations that we'll get up to add to what we raise from central government to put the entire national farmers there together. And note that this product that comes are also distributed to the farmers. None of it is kept by us. And also, the national farmers is organized at district level, a regional level, or a national level.
You heard a Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture, Dr. Al-Hassan Yakubu. Boat operators and fishermen on the Volta Lake are unable to build a consensus on the removal of tree stumps, which usually cause accidents on the lake. According to our correspondent, Micah Tulevo, while the boat operators are agitating for the removal of tree stumps, the fishermen are against it because they believe it will affect the breeding of fish, which will in turn impact negatively on their livelihood. The two factions are therefore appealing to the authorities to intervene to safeguard lives on the lake as well as sustain aquaculture in the Volta Lake.
Their challenge right now is demarcated path that they can pass. Just as there's a road on the land, there should be a fairway also in the lake, but they are not having that opportunity. And currently, why there's a lot of agitation is that when the water is coming up, caused by rainfall, that runs through the ground before entering the lake. Therefore, the water is muddy and murky. It's not clear. So the tree stumps that are being covered are not visible also. So if boat is passing, the possibility of hitting a tree stump is higher than even if the water is going down when the water is getting clearer. Also.
Currently, it means the removal process is not going on.
No.
And you were talking about agitation. Who are agitating and about what?
The fishermen don't want mass removal of the tree stump, but they also need safety. Therefore, all the questions they keep on asking is, why on the road there is a way for lorries to pass, but on the lake there's no way for the boats to pass?
That was our correspondent, Michael Tulevo, in foreign news. Dozens of children in Darfur are reportedly killed by chemical weapons dropped on them by their own government. Amnesty International says the children are among more than 200 people estimated to have been killed by the banned weapons since January. The oil producers cartel OPEC has agreed a preliminary deal to cut oil production for the first time in 8 years, sending crude prices surging. The major oil exporting nation struck a deal at talks in Algeria to ease years of oversupply. Brent crude, international benchmark for oil, rose almost 6% to nearly $49 a barrel on the news. Turn the news, the main points again. Filing of nomination by flag bearers of political parties, independent candidates and aspiring parliamentarians will begin today and end tomorrow, 30 September. In a statement, the EC urged all candidates to ensure that their tax obligations are met. And the Electoral Commission has restated that all forms of campaign should cease 24 hours before Election Day. Director of Electoral Services at the EC, Samuel Tete, said this on GBC's Ask the EC program. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.